Amen. Our scripture reading, if you would, turn to Acts chapter 1. Starting with verse 15. We read last week 1 to 14. Now we're going to read 15 to the end of the chapter. Amen. This is our church reading. That means we all read. We all read. Amen. Thank you. Let's start verse 15. It says, "In those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said, 'The number of names together were about 120. 16. Men and brethren, the scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit by the mouth of David spoke before concerning Judas, who was guide to them who took Jesus. 17. For he was numbered with us and had obtained part of this ministry. Verse 18. Now this man purchased a field with the reward of iniquity, and falling headlong, he burst asunder in the midst of all his bowels and gushed out.'" It's an amazing. Verse 19. "And it was known unto all the dwellers at Jerusalem, insomuch that that field is called in his proper name Academia, and is to say the field of blood." Verse 20. "For it is written in the book of Psalms, 'Let his habitation be desolate, and let no man dwell therein, and his bishopric let another take.'" Verse 21. "Wherefore of these men which have companied with us all the time, that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us." 22. "Beginning from the baptism of John unto the same day that he was taken up from us, must one be ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection." Verse 23. "And they appointed two, Joseph called Barsabbas, who was surnamed Justus, and Matthias." Verse 24. "And they prayed and said, 'You, Lord, which knows the heart of all men, show whether these two you have chosen.'" Verse 25. "That he may take part of this ministry and apostleship, from which Judas by transgression fell, that he might go to his own place." Verse 26. "And they gave forth their lots, and the lot fell upon Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles." Amen. Well, I tell you, Judas did something there, huh? Tell you what. The scripture is true when it says, talks about when a person comes to the Lord and they go back to their old ways, they end up worse than what they were before. And I tell you what, Judas committed really suicide. And now they had to have a new person to take that 12th spot. And so Matthias, it fell upon Matthias, and he became the 12th one. Amen. Well, all right, let's make our declaration before him. If you would take your Bibles, say, "This is life. I will honor it today as this word brings life to my spirit. In Jesus' name." Amen. We do want to welcome everyone, and we just pray thus far that the Spirit of God has already worked in your heart, has encouraged you, has helped you, has helped you focus back upon Him. Because, you know, I know throughout the week people go to work and all kinds of stuff happens. Life happens, you know. And I know we're at home and we're fighting, and, you know, not fighting at home, but, you know, fighting the enemy. Don't fight in the house. No, let peace be there, okay? Let peace reign in that home. We don't fight against flesh and blood. We fight against principalities and powers out there. But God has given us the victory on the cross, people. We have the victory. And without Jesus Christ, we will not be able to succeed and do what God calls us to do. But with his help, and His encouragement and the Holy Spirit working on our behalf, we can accomplish what God wants us to accomplish in our own personal lives and in our church and in our families. I would like you to turn to Galatians chapter 6, please. Page 2059. The Apostle Paul, wrote the book of Galatians. He was writing to the church in Galatia. I mean, he was writing to a local church, okay? That's how, you know, that's like if somebody would write a letter to the church in Gaydon, and they would call out our names, and they'd write a letter to us for some reason, prophetically, however. Well, he was writing a letter to them. Now, we're going to read a scripture and stuff, this is a letter that actually Paul actually penned down himself. You know, Paul wrote, out of the 27 books in the New Testament, he wrote 14 of them. Some say 13, some say 14. I say 14 because they're battling over Hebrews. Don't battle over that stuff. That doesn't make sense to me. He wrote 14. And so he would have a scribe come in, and he would just dictate, you know, what he wanted to say in a letter. And they would write it down, and he would sign the end of it. He still was the one that had what he wanted in that letter, but he would just say it, and they would write it down. This book of Galatians, he actually pinned down and wrote it out. He didn't have someone come in and write it out for him. And so we're going to see that in Scripture. But I want you to look at verse 9, starting with verse 9 of Galatians chapter 6. And it says this: let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. There's a clause there. Verse 10. And as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are the household of faith. That means Christians. That means true Christians. Now, we should do good to all, but verse 11. You see how large a letter I have written unto you with my own hand. This was one of them he wrote. Actually wrote by his hand and didn't have somebody else write it out for him. So here we see, going back to verse 9, it says, let us not be weary in well-doing. You know, we started on this path of life. Our walk, our relationship, our race, it all started when we got born again. Everybody's date, it probably in here, is different. When you accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, your relationship to Him began. You started your race with Him. Not that you're racing anybody else, but you're on a run with Him. Your relationship is growing. And that's when we all started. Whatever it was, whatever date it was, whatever year it was, okay? On that race, and here we are walking with Him, sometimes we might have some pitfalls. Everybody saying yes? Yeah. We're walking on our path with Him. We're constantly going to Him, and we're asking Him for wisdom. We're asking Him for help. We're asking Him to lead us and guide us because we need wisdom from Him. We're on our walk with Him, constantly walking with Him, taking our time, building that relationship with Him. And sometimes pitfalls may happen. Things happen. Sometimes it's caused by ourselves. Sometimes it's caused by other people, you know. But it affects us because of what has happened. It affects us in a good way sometimes and in a bad way sometimes. But you see, we should not grow weary in our walk with Him. Whew. That we need to continually do the work that God has called us to do, even though we might get a little weary spiritually. that we continue to do the good work that God has called us to do in him. You might say, what good works do we do? Well, it can be whatever God calls you to do is a good work. We all pray, I know that. We pray and we seek the Father on behalf of ourselves and on behalf of other people, asking God to intervene and to help and give instruction and give direction. You see, he is the leader of the church. Flash news, no human being is the leader of the church. It's only God Almighty with his Son sitting next to him, with the Holy Spirit roaming the earth right now, working and doing the Father's bid upon the earth. Now, that doesn't mean that God doesn't want to use men. He wants to use men and women, or humanity, to get the word out about what Jesus has done for humanity, how he gave his life so we would be free from sin, death, hell, and the grave, my Lord. My God, what a God we serve. We got to continue in the faith. We got to continue to seek him. We got to continue to do the work that he has called us to do. My Lord. My Lord, I know I've told you this, I don't know how many times, but there are so many preachers that are quitting the ministry. But I tell you what, we concentrate on our God that is moving, that is raising up men and women that will take up the cause of Christ and preach the gospel uncompromisingly to the people. My Lord, that's what we need. They're going to stand behind that pulpit and say, thus saith the Lord. This is what the word of God says. And to live out that word. To live out that word. And not just the humble and jumble of all kind of other junk that doesn't make sense. My Lord. Remember this. There's false doctrine going throughout the world on a constant basis. You might say, well, how do you know it's false, Pastor? Because it does not line up with the word of Almighty God. And you're saying, well, Pastor, how do you know that? Because you got to read it. You got to study it. You got to say, Lord, show me. Show me, Lord. You see, we got to stay on that straight and narrow and let God, and don't let any of those pitfalls get in our way. Because I tell you what, we take one wrong turn and it can lead to destruction. Look at Judas, what we just read earlier. All for 30 pieces of silver that he hung himself, basically. Committed suicide because he couldn't live with himself anymore. People, don't ever let that spirit of suicide. You might say, well, you know, sometimes we can't stop everything that comes in our mind. Yeah, I understand that. But you can stop it from taking root. That spirit of suicide, you'll see it come up. And it's been a little while since I've heard. Because when it happens, you have... That's the demons from hell that have spoke, and not only to the church, but also to the people out there that don't know God. Tell them it's worthless. You're worthless. You're nothing. You can't do anything. You'll never amount to anything. Look at your life. And the devil just bombards them. And they do whatever it takes. They do whatever. But I tell you what, God says, I've come to give you life and to have it more abundantly. You might say, well, is it wrong if it comes in my mind, in your mind? No. It's wrong if you let it penetrate in your mind and stay there and let it have deep root. Reject it. Say, no, I'm a child of the living God. Amen. I've been called by God to do a mighty work for him. Can you imagine a young person that's 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, even thinking that? When they had their whole life before them? My God, life to go and fulfill, called by God. Don't let it get in there and stay in there. No, 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 no. See, God says, I've come to give you life. Don't get weary in doing well. Spiritually. Before that, the few verses before that, he's talking about things spiritually. He doesn't stop. You know, man put it into little, and it's good because it helps us. You know, can you imagine if I said, you know, let's read this scripture, let's find it. Yeah. If we didn't have the books and we didn't have the chapters and we didn't have numbers to go to, it'd be horrible. It'd be horrible. So man did something good. They put it so we can get to it. But he's talking about spiritual things. And let's read it again. That scripture. It says this. And let us not be weary in well-doing. I'll stop right there. Let's continue to sow in the Spirit, people. Continue to do the things that God has told you to do. Continue to pray. Continue to intercede for those people that don't know God. Continue to intercede for the ladies that are heartbroken, for the men that are heartbroken, that think there's no way out. Continue to sow in the Spirit by praying, by seeking God. Continue to sow in the Spirit by taking your Bibles and saying, Lord, help me to understand what you've written to me. Getting that word on the inside of your heart, that it becomes planted in you, so that you and I will walk in the things of God and do what God has called us to do. That we will not err of the way of the word of God, but it will be an ever lamp unto our feet, my Lord. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet. Oh, my Lord. It can only become a lamp if we have the word in us, that it becomes a lamp. My Lord, we might have a lamp, but if there's no oil in it, and if there's no wick in it, it's no light at all. We want our lamps to be bright. We want our lamps to be bright so we can see where God wants to take us. So to the Spirit, let the Spirit of God move in your heart and life. Claim the souls of many, many people out there. Have you ever cried over a lost soul? Say, oh God, don't let it be. See, Jesus died on Calvary's cross for the soul of humanity. How I wish, and you know, you pray that we would have the heart of Jesus. The heart of him. You know, the Bible says that we would know Jesus' disciples by their love one towards another. Ooh. You know, the one thing people tell me is how much love they feel in this place as they walk in, as they come in. And I've said, Lord, please keep it that way. Keep it. They need to feel loved by God. That doesn't mean you overlook sin. That doesn't mean you overlook those things. But that they feel the presence of God. And they feel the love of God. Genuine love from the throne room of God. As we give that out towards people. And as you give that out towards people. Because everybody's here. This is the church. The body of Christ. The love of God. Don't let those pitfalls along the way. Don't get stuck in them. Come back to your first love. You get in a pitfall. You get stuck somewheres. And you can't get out. And you're trying to get out. Look, the only thing that will get you out. You know, and I say this by falling on your knees. And I'm just saying call out to him. And saying, Lord, I've gone astray. I've done some things that weren't right. Lord, I've said things that weren't good. I did things, my actions were not good. Lord, help me, forgive me. And he comes in and makes a new path for you and says, come on, Joe, or come on and put your name in it. And let's get back on track. Because he doesn't want us to get weary. You know, physically, when you get tired and weary, what is the best thing to do?
Take a nap.
And look, afternoon naps are really good. But, you know, because maybe you had to stay up, you had to do this, you had to do, you know, things, you know, just that a good night's sleep, going to bed early, you know, sleeping all night, getting a good night's sleep, waking up in the morning, you know, you just feel refreshed and renewed. God is looking to refresh the church spiritually, refreshing of the church of Almighty God, because there's a lot to do in the kingdom of God. People need to hear the truth of the gospel. You might say, well, people know. No, they don't. It's been distorted. And people need to hear. And you might say, well, Pastor, how do I do it? You just tell them about Jesus. Tell them what Jesus has done for you. Tell them what he's going to do. Don't get weary in doing good. Spiritual goodness, my Lord. Look at this. Look, I want you to turn to Isaiah chapter 63, page 1217. Hallelujah. Get back to our first love in fellowship with him, in communion with him, reading our Bibles. I mean, that's just something, that's just Christian etiquettes, people. Praying, seeking God. Christian etiquettes, you know. Christian etiquettes. But you see, we don't trust in those things that we do. We trust in what Jesus did. Okay, let me say it again. We don't trust in what we do, which we need to do. But we trust and have faith in what Jesus did at Calvary's cross. And when we put our faith in what Jesus did, let me tell you this, we'll never go wrong. Because our faith is in him. He will correct us. He will keep us on the straight and narrow. He will lead us in God as by the Holy Ghost. That's our God. That's our God who loves and cares about us. Look at, he was talking to the children of Israel in Isaiah 63 verse 7. Bringing them back to their first love. He said, I will mention the loving kindness of the Lord and the praises of the Lord according to all that the Lord has bestowed on us and the great goodness towards the house of Israel, which he has bestowed on them according to his mercies and according to the multitude of his loving kindness. So everything we have comes from his loving kindness and his mercy towards us. It's nothing we have earned. We are in debt to the Father. We can't earn anything. We can't do enough. We can't say enough. It's only, he can only bless us because of his grace and his mercy towards us and his loving kindness. He doesn't bless you because you have pretty hair. He doesn't bless you because you're pretty. He doesn't bless you because you own stuff. Or me, whatever. He doesn't, none of those things matter to him. He blesses and uses and helps us because of his mercy, his grace, and his kindness towards us. Look at this. For he said, surely they are my people, children who will not lie. So he was their savior. In all their affliction, he was afflicted. And the angel of his presence saved them. In his love and in his pity, he redeemed them, my Lord. And he bore them and carried them all the days of old. But they rebelled and vexed their Holy Spirit. Therefore, he was turned to be their enemy, and he fought against them. Verse 11. And he remembered the days of old, Moses and his people, saying, where is he who brought them up out of the sea with the shepherd of his flock? Where is he who put his Holy Spirit within him, my Lord? Who led them by the right hand of Moses with his glorious arm, dividing the waters before them to make himself an everlasting name. Who led them through the deep as a horse in the wilderness, and they should not stumble. As a beast goes down in the valley, the Spirit of the Lord caused him to rest. So did you lead your people to make yourself a glorious name. He was saying, Israel, remember what I did for you. Remember how I brought you out of Egypt. Remember how I led you. Remember how I cared for you. Remember how I fed you. People, remember. When the enemy comes after you and you're saying there's no use going on, remember the blessings of the Lord and what He has done in your heart and in your life. Remember the day that He saved your soul. My God, can you imagine if He didn't save your soul, you and I would be on the path to hell? And let me tell you, you read in the scripture about hell, that's not a nice place. But His mercy, His grace, His anointing, His power, how He saved our souls. All we had to do was call upon Him and receive Him, my Lord. Remember how He gave you food. Remember the blessings of the Lord. Remember when He provided for you. Remember when He gave you wisdom. Remember when He gave you that job. Remember when He gave you the money that you needed to pay that bill or to pay whatever. Remember the blessings of the Lord. Remember how He saved your spouse. Remember how He saved your children. Remember those things. And so we won't go to God and say, oh, Lord. And I'm not saying things get tough. I know that. But it's like, oh, Lord, this is another time where I can see Your hand move. Oh, my Lord. Can you imagine the children of Israel would lay at night and they saw the hand of God, the pillar of fire over them. My Lord. Can you imagine as they got dressed in the morning, they put their sandals on and they would say, you know, this is year number 30. And my sandals are still look good. And their clothes did not wear away. And they would start to walk and they'd see a cloud following them, the hand of God. And let me tell you this, you might say, well, that's the children of Israel. Let me tell you this, the hand of God is still upon His children today. Amen. And let me tell you, you don't have to fight your battles. You can give them to the Lord and let Him handle those things. When people come against you, give them to the Lord. And let me tell you, He will handle things the way He wants to handle it. And He will take care of those things. He fights for us. He fights for you. And let me tell you, if he won victory at Calvary, He will win victory in your heart and life through every situation that we go through. Don't get weary in doing well. Keep on doing. Keep on expecting. Keep on seeing what God can do and will do as we trust in Him. Sowing into the Spirit brings life everlasting. Keep on working, keep on believing, keep on seeing. Matthew 11:28-30 says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. People, God wants to give you rest. Rest in Him. That doesn't mean rest in not doing anything, but rest in the toil of life. Ooh. That we can walk around and God's Holy Spirit strengthens us, my Lord. I know things in life can get a little hard, but God says He can handle it. You keep on believing. You keep on giving it to Him. It says, I'm going to start this scripture again in Matthew 11:28. It says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, and I am weak and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Remember that, church. His yoke is easy and His burden is light. Ooh. Quit carrying that wheelbarrow full of stones. And when you want to turn, it won't turn sometimes. Keep carrying that wheelbarrow full of stones. Say, Lord, these are Yours. Give it to Him. Give it to him. Give it to him. You might say, well, I've been giving it. Keep giving it to him. It says, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. In God's time, our faith in Christ and the cross will not go unrewarded, but will bring forth exactly that which is promised by the Lord. Waiting on God is the kind of waiting a gardener does. Can you imagine that? I know, Dustin, you probably know with planting. So he knows a lot more than me. But a gardener goes out, tills the land. You just don't go, for the most part anyway. You're not going to take some seed, whatever you want to grow, and just throw it on the ground and say, try to make it. Okay. No fruit, I'm sure, will come forth. Probably not. Now, I have to say, one time we had a watermelon. No, pumpkin patch. A pumpkin patch grew, and we don't know where it came from. Honestly, it was from one vine and at least almost half of this area right here. Pumpkins galore. We didn't plant it, but we loved it. We don't eat pumpkin, but it was pretty, you know, all the pumpkins. Amazing. But you know, you don't just throw seed out there and say, you know, make it. You have to do a lot. You have to till that ground. You have to make that dirt fertile. You have to put fertilizer usually. You have to put seed, whatever you want to grow. You have to cover it up. You have to water it. You know, as a gardener. Now, fields out there, you can't really water. You know, you have to rely on, you know, the rain. And then all you can do is wait. But that gardener is still checking on his garden, you see. So to the Spirit, keep on doing what is right because it's right and because his word says so. Keep on praying. Keep on believing. Keep on seeking. Keep on doing. Keep on giving like God says to give. When we do those things, that seed will go in the ground. See, we can't have a harvest if we put no seed in the ground. You know, that's like, you know, what if Dustin went out there and just tilled the dirt and water came on it, but there was no seed in it? He can go look all he wants, and he can pray all he wants. But I'm sure nothing will come up but weeds, you know, because you have to put the seeds of what you want in there. We have to put the spiritual seeds in our lives so that it grows in us. Ooh. And when heart comes, we start to get a little weary, God comes in. Ooh, look at this. Look what I'm doing. You see, we don't want pitfalls in our lives. We want to keep on going and doing what God wants us to do. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. I want you to turn to 2 Kings chapter 4, please. Page 631. And, you know, you might say, why do you give the page number? Well, I think it helps maybe get there quicker. A little quicker. One last story. It says in verse 1, now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elijah, saying, your servant, my husband, is dead. And you know that your servant did fear the Lord, and the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be the bondsmen. Verse 2, and Elijah said unto her, what shall I do for you? Tell me, what have you in the house? And she said, your handmaid has not anything in the house save a pot or a jar of oil. Then he said, go borrow your vessels, brought of all your neighbors, even empty vessels, borrow not a few. And when you have come in, you shall shut the door upon you and upon your sons, and shall pour out unto all these vessels, and you shall set aside that which is full. So she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon his sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, bring me, get a vessel. And he said unto her, there is not a vessel more, and the oil stayed. Then she said and told the man of God, and he said, go and sell the oil, Pay your debt and you and your children live of the rest. Here we see her husband was with the sons of the prophets. And really what that means, it doesn't mean that they were sons, but that they were, it was a group of prophets, prophetic disciples, or students who were part of a prophetic school. So her husband wasn't the leader, but he was not a son, but he was part of that prophetic people that got together. They were members of that part of it. And so she's telling Elisha, remember, my husband was a part of that. He has died, and we owe people. And so she was saying, they're coming after my two sons. Can you imagine? That's desperate, huh? I mean, look. And look, they didn't mess around. They came, got your two sons, and look, that was it. They worked and worked off the debt that needed to be paid. So she did what was right. She called on the prophet, Elisha. See, don't get weary in doing well. When something happens, go to the main prophet. Go to him. And he will give you the direction you need. You might say, well, what if I don't hear anything? Just wait. Just wait. Because he will lead you and guide you. He will say yes, no, give direction, whatever, or stay. Whatever it is, whatever it is. You see? And Elisha said, what do you have in your house? And all she said, and I know they say pot, but it was really a jar of oil. She said, that's all I have. Can you imagine? That's all she had? That's kind of pitiful, huh? I mean, who in here has just a jar of oil? You know, you remember those Western oil, the grease that would, Crisco. It was Crisco grease. And look, Mama, boy, she tried to save money, man. After it was all gone, she'd take it and put it on the fire, on the stove, and heat it all up to make sure there was any on the sides and in the crevices. Look, she was, no waste. No waste. There's no waste with God. God doesn't waste. But let me tell you this. He said, go get, what do you have? She said, oh, a jar of oil. Go get it. Okay, I see it. Here, I'm going to give you direction. Go and borrow every vessel you can find from neighbors. Bring them all. And he said, not just a little bit, but a lot. See, that's the kind of God we serve, who gives over in abundance. He just doesn't meet a need. But he met their need in paying their creditors. But he said, you can live on the rest for your life. Whew. That's better than Social Security. Amen. Amen. That's better than any retirement that we... And thank God for all those things. But it sure is better than that. God knows. And she took that... She went in that house with her two sons. She closed all the windows, all the blinds, and I'm just saying that she closed it because he said close the door. That means it was her two sons, and her God. And it took faith. Can you imagine going to all these homes and saying, I need to borrow some vessels, some bowls. Well, what do you need them for? You know, well, you know, I just feel I need to get them. And she got as many as she could. And she brought it, and she didn't know what God would do. But she knew she had to obey the man of God. See, people, we may not understand everything about God, but we have to obey him. He will not go contrary to his word. I know that. I know that. She got in that home, closed every door, closed every window, her and her sons, and her God. And can you imagine her walking to her pantry, her little kitchen, and getting that jar? It took faith to get it. It took faith for her sons to bring those bowls. It took faith for her to pour it into that first bowl. Can you imagine her eyes when she poured it into that first bowl and it's full and she... And it's still full in the jar, people. See, that's not possible. But it is possible with a God we serve. With the God we serve. And the sons came, took that bowl, they brought another one. And I'm sure that maybe the first one was a small little bowl. Just to see. They take it away, they bring another one, and she pours it in. And they take it away, it's full again. They bring another one. And all of a sudden she said, just give me another one. She knew it. Her faith had risen. That's what happens to the body of Christ. When you see the miracle working power of your God. Working in your heart, working in your life, and working in your family. Your faith grows in Him. You can believe God. She believed for every. They probably, no telling, if I say a number, they're going to say, it doesn't say a number. It says a lot. She probably looked at the stacks of bowls and vessels that were there and said, everyone will be filled by the time the fourth or fifth one was full. I believe. You see, when you see God move, you can believe God for the impossible. For things that you never thought were possible at one time. That's how God builds your faith. One step at a time. He does something. You see it. You see the working hand of God. Your faith grows. So you believe Him for the miracle of the next one. And you believe Him for the miracle of the next one. You keep believing Him. She kept pouring. She kept believing. And look, not only her faith grew, but her sons grew. We don't know. It doesn't say much about them. But they knew their life was on the chopping block of going pay a debt and working it out. But God intervened. It may look hopeless at times, but let me tell you, God can intervene at a certain time when it is His time to intervene. All we got to do is believe God and know that we have to do what He says to do. And when we do what He says to do, He moves on our behalf. We got to believe, we got to stand firm, and we got to thank God for the things that He's given us. My God shall supply all my needs according to His riches in glory. My God. Not your God, but you can say my God. Because He's a personal God unto all of us. My God shall supply all my needs. My God shall move upon that situation. My God shall handle that situation. When we do what God wants us to do, it unties the hands of God upon your life, upon your situation, upon your family, and upon your church. Just do what God says to do, and when you do it, and you find it in that word, you do it. Amen. You can't outgive God. My Lord, you can't outgive Him. Remember this, as we said earlier, I'm going to read it again. Give God what is His, and He will protect what is yours. My Lord, my Lord. Give God what is His, and He will protect what is yours. Ooh, my Lord. Let God move. Go back to Galatians chapter 6, please. Let's just read it one more time, and we'll close. 2059. My Lord. They sold all that oil, well, most of it, whatever, to pay their creditors. Can you imagine as they walked in to pay these creditors? And they said, well, how did you get this money? Well, let me tell you, you have some time. You see, that's why God wants to move, so He can be exalted upon the earth. So He could be exalted. Well, let me tell you what God did, that little one. And let me tell you, those boys, I'm sure, were ready to tell too what God did. You see, that's why we get excited when we see the hand of God. That's why we get excited when God moves and heals a person's heart or a soul comes to the Lord. My Lord. My Lord. Or a body's healed or whatever happens. Direction, help. God comes in. Let's read it again. Galatians 6, 9. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Verse 10. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. You see how large a letter I have written unto you with my own hand. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not. I wonder how many have fainted. You might say, well, what do you mean by faint? That doesn't mean faint. Well, faint spiritually. I mean, that means they stopped doing what God wanted them to do. Don't stop, because you will reap. You will reap what God wants. Keep on doing what God calls you to do. And when you do what God calls you to do, the power of Almighty God will be with you, my Lord. Amen.